ghost of a Nelson Mandela coming to you from beyond the grave to bring you Nelson Mandela's Ghostly Podcastings.
In this cell. It's pretty disgusting. And they've chained my poor little foot to the wall so I can't fly away. Still, at least they've imprisoned us together. And they let us keep the podcasting equipment. So at least there's that. Not that it matters. The Donkey King killed my wife. He tricked us into using the Haunted Whistle's magic to remove the spell that had been cast on the Donkey King. A spell that made him a donkey, which unbeknownst to us, was designed to stop him from ever holding the whistle. Mr. Nelson released him from the curse, and as soon as he settled into human form, he used his powers of telekinesis to snatch the whistle from Mr. Nelson's hand, and then he zapped us with his magic powers! But before he did any of that, he brought out dinner, which turned out to be my wife, served as Magpie a l'Orange! Oh, my dear sweet wife! I feel so alone! Mr. Nelson isn't here! They took him away to the torture chamber hours ago! I'm worried. Do you think he's all right? Oh, I don't know. How are we going to get out of this? Oh, someone's coming. Stay quiet.
Get in there, you bastard.
Mr. Nelson, are you all right?
I'm okay, Magpie.
Oh my! What have they done to you?
Well, the first thing they did was I gouged my eye out of my socket with a spoon.
Oh no!
I don't imagine I look my best.
Here, lay down.
Yes, yes. I just need to rest.
Everything is going to be all right.
Tell me a story, Magpie.
What story would you like to hear?
Tell me about your life.
Okay. The story begins on a cold and rainy night. I was just an egg at the time, and my mother sat on my two siblings and I, keeping us warm, desperately clutched to the nest as the wind shook our tree back and forth. She prematurely moved us to our new tree. The full spring was short, and winter had come back with a vengeance. Suddenly, lightning struck the tree, and our nest was thrown from it as the thick oak was torn from its roots. The nest did its job, and somehow, miraculously, I survived, although my brother and sister were scrambled. The next morning, spring finally arrived, and I hatched. I called for my mother, but she was gone. I felt so alone. I was cold and slimy, and I cried out knowing I'd never feel the warmth of my mother's bottom again.
little one?
A human approached me. She had a kind face and long golden hair.
Where's your mummy bird?
Again, I called out for my mother. I screamed in fear of the human, but it did not stop her from kneeling down and scooping me up in her hands. But instead of smushing me, she simply cradled me. Her hands were warm and soft, and I felt safe. She took me into her home and gave me a little bath, cleaning off the slime and drying me with a fluffy white towel. I was cozy. I was warm. I was safe. She stroked my little head with her finger and smiled at me.
It's okay, little magpie. I'll be your mummy.
I closed my eyes and fell asleep. Mr. Nelson has fallen asleep. Do you want to hear the rest of my story? Okay then, I'll continue. I woke up to find that my new mummy had gotten me some tastyful worms to eat. They were delicious. I was as happy as I could be. And then everything changed.
Ooh, stay here, little magpie. Jamie is home.
Jamie? Who's Jamie? I thought to myself.
Jamie! 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 Calm down! Stop jumping on the sofa!
I'm an aeroplane!
Jamie, stop!
My mother tried her best to control the child, but to no avail. He was consumed by evil spirits and ran through the house screaming, leaving a path of destruction in his wake until...
A birdie!
He scooped me up in his grubby little hands, gripping me so tightly I could hardly breathe.
Jamie, put him down!
No, he's mine.
Jamie, you're hurting him. He's very poorly.
No,
if you give him to Mummy, you can have some ice cream.
Yay!
The little monster lost interest in me at the mere mention of this iced cream and dropped me. My mummy dived forward to pick me up off the floor and held me close in her soft hands.
Shh! It's okay, little bird. Safe now.
Months passed. Mummy had gotten me a cage, and although it had initially felt like a little jail cell, I still appreciated the protection that it afforded me from that monstrous little child. He would often stand in front of my cage, staring at me, dead behind his eyes, growing impatient at his inability to overcome the padlock our mother had put on the cage door. The padlock didn't stop him from tormenting me, though. He'd often appear from the shadows, clutching sharp poking implements, a twig, a chopstick, anything he could find to roughly poke at me through the bars of my cage.
Jamie, leave him alone!
I'm not doing anything!
I'm sorry, my little prince.
That child was obsessed with tormenting me, and I'm ashamed to say that my mother attempted to secure me a reprieve from his torment by providing him with various pets to distract him. There was Floppy, the bunny rabbit. The boy strangled him to death. Then there was Smudge, the hamster, who he put in the microwave. And then there was Fishy the fish, who he took from his tank and cooked with a magnifying glass on the garden patio. My mother was powerless to stop his violent and frankly psychopathic attacks on these animals. Although really, after the first one, she should have learned a lesson. And of course, as soon as he'd killed his latest pet, his attention turned back to me.
I can't let him hurt you. He's a psychopath. I'll have to set you free, little bird. You need to fly away now, little bird.
I sat in her hands and stared up at her. Tears filled her eyes, and she smiled at me before giving me a little kiss on my head and throwing me into the air. By our good friends at Florida Men on Florida Man, the hilarious podcast where Floridians discuss the crazy but true stories that always seem to take place in Florida. Join Greg, Wayne, Josh, and Cameron as they take you through stories that will make you laugh so hard that you forget all about the terrible things you've done. Check them out at fmofm.com. That's fmofm.com. Once more, fmofm.com. And subscribe on Apple Podcasts today. I never strayed far from the home I grew up in. I made a nest in the tree I fell from, and spent much of that summer staring at my mother, who, when she'd notice me, would smile warmly and discreetly give me a little wave so not to alert the attention of her psychopath of a child. She installed a bird bath and a feeder for me, so I never had to work hard to find food. And one day, whilst taking a bath in the mid-morning sun, my life changed forever. She was beautiful! I'd never seen another magpie before, and I hardly knew what to say. We smiled and flirted, and played splashy splashy in the bird bath. She came back to see me every day after that, and soon we were inseparable. We married in the last days of summer, and I was a bachelor no more. Those days were so peaceful. I'd long forgotten about that monstrous little boy. He never ventured into the back garden, you see, always glued to his portable gaming device. Yes, they were happy days indeed. And I remember the day she came to me and told me the good news. She was going to lay an egg. I immediately set to task in building us a nest. The last of the summer storms was upon us, and all of a sudden, the memory of all those years ago came flooding back to me. We cannot build a nest in this tree, I thought to myself. So we left the tree in the back garden and moved to a tree in the front garden. I was gathering twigs and branches for our nest when suddenly the little boy who had tormented me all those years ago was stood above me. I was frozen in terror. The lightning strike rose me from my stupor, and I leapt up and spread my wings. But the boy jumped towards me, forcefully clapping his hands together, trapping me in a firm grip. I pecked at his hands wildly, but he just stood there, soaked in the pouring rain, staring at me with his dead eyes. He spoke slowly, rain dripping down his chin.
One for sorrow, two for joy, three for a girl, four for a boy, five for silver, six for gold, seven for a secret, never to be told.
His grip tightened, and he squeezed me so tightly, I pooed all over his hands.
Eight for a wish, nine for a kiss.
I felt my eyes close as he pushed me to the floor and pressed down on me with the weight of one of his feet while he raised the other foot high above my head.
10 for a bird, you must not miss.
And then I was asleep. I woke up here in the ghostly afterlife. I was very confused. The last thing I remembered was dying, and yet here I was. Like everyone, I woke up in the ghostly plains, underneath the ghost of a chestnut tree, naked. Not that magpies wear clothes. Of course, magpies have no concept of an afterlife, so it wasn't until many years later that I learned of what had happened to me and where I was. I eventually found my way to the nearest town. I mostly kept to myself at first, but now that I was dead and could speak human, I was filled with a burning curiosity. And as we all know, a magpie's curiosity is insatiable. I had to know the meaning of it all, so I set out in search of answers. I spent several years at the docks in the Southern Isles, working as a deckhand for Jobo the sea captain. He was an amorous fellow, and taught me about life at sea, how to fight, and how to drink copious amounts of rum. I spent a year nervously observing a geisha in a bathhouse of the ghostly Orient. Her name was Kanashimi, and her dance was beautiful, but filled with sadness. On the roads, I met a juggler called Fifi. She was a forever child, killed when she was just 4 years old by a very mean polar bear. And eventually, I found myself in the vast desert of the dead. I'd been told it was a difficult route, filled with danger. You see, the desert of the dead is filled with quicksand and poisonous snakes. But when you have wings, you don't much concern yourself with such things. The flight was long, and my wings ached. There may be no sun in the ghostly afterlife, but the heat was scorching. A bead of sweat ran down in between my eyes and down across my beak. I lapped at it, desperate for water. Ugh, salty. I saw a camp below and swooped down, hoping to find a fellow traveller who would assist me with the provision of drinking water that was not a bodily fluid. I say, hello there.
Hello there, friend.
Do you, by any chance, have any water you could spare, good sir?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, go on.
Oh, thank you.
What are you doing all the way out here?
Searching for answers.
Oh, aren't we all, eh?
What about yourself?
I tired of the company of others when I was still alive.
Oh, then I'm sorry for the intrusion.
There's no apology needed, my little friend. I prefer to keep to myself, but I won't turn away folk that need my help.
Thank you.
And you do need help, don't you?
Yes, I do. I've travelled from place to place, but I still feel lost.
Perhaps we're all guided in this manner. Do you believe in destiny, little bird?
I don't know.
Well, surely you do or you don't.
Before I died, I had no concept of life after death. I knew what death was, and by juxtaposition, I knew I was alive. But magpies don't have religion. I died, and then I was able to speak humans. And I learned about Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, Jedi, all of the main religions.
And what did you learn?
That all men are lost.
You're not wrong.
You seek answers to the questions of the universe. Questions like, is there a god? Are there many gods? What happens when we die? What does it mean to be alive? Why do bad things happen to good people? What are the pros and cons of polygamy? Which diets are just fads and which will actually help you to lose weight? Did they fake the moon landing? And why does it hurt when I pee? I found no such answers in this place.
Nor have I.
But then, these questions are not meant for a magpie. They don't sit well inside me, like a bad worm in a grumbly tummy.
And yet, there they are.
Indeed.
Whatever you're looking for, what do you want it to be?
I want someone to explain why all of this had to happen. I want to not feel so alone.
You know, I've been in this desert for 5,000 years. Do you know what I had for lunch today?
No.
Desert snake. Do you know what I have for breakfast?
No.
Desert snake. Do you know?
Desert snake?
Aye. Do you know how many people I've seen pass through here in the last 5,000 years?
No.
Have a guess.
100?
3.
3?
Aye, 3. The first was a kind lass. She died young. Needed to come to terms with leaving her young lover in the world of the living.
Her young lover?
Aye. They were of the age of consent, mind. She wasn't a cradle snatcher or anything.
Oh my!
Aye. But she were lost too. Tried to help her, but she went on her way. Never saw her again.
Oh, I hope she's okay.
Aye. She'll be alright, no doubt.
Who was the second?
A fella by the name of Rupert. Thought he'd help himself to my buttocks while I slept.
Oh, golly gosh!
I had to smash his head in with a rock while he was on top of me. Thrusting away like a ski champion at the Winter Olympics.
Oh, dear.
Rock didn't kill him, though. Oh, no. So I buried him up to his neck in sand and watched as clumps of his brain fell out of his open skull.
Oh, dear.
It's all right. It weren't the first time I were raped. Nor the last.
Who was the third?
You, little bird.
Oh.
So, why don't you tell me what it is you want?
Well, I assure you, I do not want to rape you.
I'll believe you. Thousands wouldn't. They've not seen what I've seen.
I'm looking for someone.
There's someone. They dead too?
I don't know.
There's only one I know of that can tell you for sure.
Who?
The Donkey King.
The Donkey King?
Aye. You must seek an audience with the Donkey King, for who else knows of such things?
I don't know.
If your friend is dead, the Donkey King will surely know.
It's my wife.
Then I hope you find her.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Would you like some snake?
Ooh, yes, please. Thank you.
Oh, I should thank you, little bird.
Why?
Well, you see this knife?
Yes.
Right before you swoop down, I were gonna stick it in my throat. Right there.
Oh my! Please don't do that!
Aye, you're right. The snake isn't that bad.
I stayed the night, and for the briefest of moments, I didn't feel so alone. That small morsel of comradeship gave me greater insight into myself than I had ever had before. It gave me respite from my despair, and I hoped it would for the hermit too. You see, time passes differently for you and I, dear listener. 1,000 years for you could be 1,000th of a second for me, and 1,000 years for me could be 1,000th of a second for you. We really don't know. You see, time isn't real. There is no sunrise here. There is no sunset. There is no beginning and no end. There is no second, no minute, no hour. There is only forever. And forever is a terrible thing. In my death, I experienced 1,000 lifetimes. The sum of my experience in the world of the living feels like a second must feel to you. A single second, and the longest day of your life. In all the time, or lack thereof since, I have come to know myself. I have learned more than I ever wanted to know. I learned 1,000 names. And have seen 1,000 faces. I've heard 1,000 stories, bore witness to 1,000 tragedies, and through it all, the one constant has been the eternal tugging on my heart. The tether in the blizzard, the break in the cycle, the dawn in a sunless sky. The desert hermit told me I would find what I was looking for, and so I found myself in the Citadel. I was ushered past scores of waiting citizens, all of whom had come to lay their plight at the Donkey King's hooves.
Your Grace, the magpie I spoke of.
Ah, yes, hello, little bird.
Good evening, Your Majesty.
You've come to ask a favour of me.
Not a favour, sir, no. Just a question.
Ah, but questions have answers. And answers are knowledge. And knowledge is power.
I suppose you're right.
Ask your question.
I'd like to know if my wife is still alive, or if she is here in the ghostly afterlife.
And what is the information worth to you?
Anything.
Well, in that case, I have a proposition for you.
A proposition?
There is an object I desire. I would have you retrieve it for me.
What is it?
The haunted whistle. Head north until you feel the cold winter snow upon your skin. Then head east until your eyes burn. Then head south until you need to vomit. Then head west until you'll find yourself surrounded by mountains on all sides. Then you will find the Keeper's Enclave.
And if I do that?
If you do that, If you bring me the whistle, you will see your wife again. Until then, she will continue to be my guest.
You mean she's here? Please, let me see her.
Do we have a deal?
Please, Your Majesty, I...
Do we have a deal?
Yes, if you let me see her.
You know, my friend, you shouldn't make demands of the king.
Mr. Hermit, what are you doing here?
I am here to serve my king.
You mean...
I knew you were coming. And if you want to see your juicy little wife again, you'll do as I say. I don't care what it takes or what you have to do. You'll do it. Because if you don't, I'll tear her wings off.
Oh no! Please don't!
Do you understand?
Yes.
Good. Bring me the haunted whistle, and do not return without it.
And so, I headed north until I felt the cold winter snow upon my feathers. Then, headed east until my eyes burned. Then, headed south until I needed to vomit. Then, headed west until I found myself surrounded by mountains on all sides. From high up, as I soared through the air like a majestic eagle, I looked down and saw the Keeper's Enclave. I was surrounded by mountains on all sides. My eyes burned, and the smell of sick was hot on my beak. This must be it, I thought to myself. So I swooped down to the Enclave. It was quiet. My only company was the sound of the mountain winds. When suddenly...
Hello, little magpie! I have been expecting you!
You have?
Yes! You have come here looking for the haunted whistle, no?
I have.
Ah, then you have wasted a trip, for I cannot give you the haunted whistle.
Why not?
Because you have a beak. Ah, do you intend to play the haunted whistle with a beak?
I don't know.
And how will you hold the whistle, eh?
I can grip it with my toe-toes.
Ah, think not. The whistle is not meant for you, magpie. You cannot have it.
Oh, then I'm sorry I've wasted your time.
Wait! You have passed the test.
What test?
There is one who could hold the whistle. Seek him out, and you will be able to save your wife.
I will?
Yes! You will be betrayed, magpie. Know this, but know also that the whistle has the power to change her fate.
Why would I want to change her fate?
Fate, fate! I said fate, not fate. Fate, as in her destiny.
Oh, her fate. So, who is the one you speak of?
You will know him when you find him. Seek him out in the city of the dead!
After spending 1,000 years in 1,000 towns and cities of the ghostly afterlife, still having barely scratched the surface of this realm, I came to the city of the dead. I'd never seen anything like it. A vast metropolis that attracts all manner of men and beast. I spent weeks watching from the shadows until I overheard a name. It was familiar to me somehow, although I couldn't quite place it. Over the weeks and months, I had heard it again and again. His name was Nelson Mandela. I knew he was the one the Keeper spoke of. and I betrayed him. I'm ashamed of myself. And as I stare at him, lying there, fast asleep, I am filled with shame. Ashamed that I betrayed a good man. Ashamed that despite the keeper's warning, I still brought Mr. Nelson to the Donkey King, only to be betrayed. And ashamed that despite all my efforts to redeem myself, here we sit, betrayed yet again. It took 10 attempts and a lot of impromptu time travel to reach this point, but I still didn't learn my lesson. Poor Mr. Nelson has lost an eye, and my beautiful wife is dead. But I cannot give up hope. The haunted whistle is the key to everything. We have to get it back and... Someone is coming. Shh.
Hey, Mandela. Wake up.
What do you want?
You have a visitor.
A visitor?
Yes, a visitor.
Oh, great. What do you want?
I'm here to give you the good news.
The good news?
Yes. You're to be put on trial for treason.